You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Poet and college professor Daniel B. Summerhill grew up in Oakland, and in high school, he began writing. Since then, Daniel's performed spoken word all over the world, and he's helped the next generation of Bay Area wordsmiths find their voices. He recently led a 10-week writing workshop for Black youth in Oakland. They explored what it means to be young and Black today, and a collection of their work from that class was published in the new book, Black Joy, an anthology of Black boy poems. Daniel sat down with KALW's Janae Darden to talk about it.
Straight out of Oakland, California, where we're sparking on you. Give a shout out to my partners in the darkest corners.
You're from Oakland. Where'd you grow up in Oakland?
Yeah, so pretty much half of my time was spent in East Oakland. The other half was in West Oakland.
So you're not one of those people that's like, it's all about East Oakland, it's all about West Oakland.
Yeah.
You've kind of been.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I feel like, so Tupac has his quote, and he says, you know, when I moved to Oakland, that's when I learned the game, right? And so for me, that was what East Oakland was. That's where I kind of got my footing, and I feel like that's where I grew the most, I observed the most, and I think that's where I kind of had my roots.
Is that where you found your sister's poetry?
It was actually in West Oakland.
Ah!
Yeah, because that happened in middle school. So when I was in eighth grade, I was 12, found her photo album of poetry. And she had poems about, like, wishing upon a 747, you know, thinking
Whoa.
That, because, you know, in the hood, you don't see,
stars,
right?
You don't see stars.
And so, you know, wishing upon, and I thought that was just brilliant in terms of thinking about language and how you can kind of flip things, right? And so me finding that wasn't necessarily me finding my voice, but it was more so finding out that I was interested in poetry and I was interested in writing. All through my freshman year of high school, I was just like in the grass during lunchtime writing poems, and my friends were like, yo, come play ball. What are you doing? I'm like, I gotta finish this poem.
What about when you were in high school? Who were some authors that you read that also inspired you?
You know, in high school, I didn't read much. The reason I didn't read much is because I didn't know that there were books that I liked. There was one book that actually my ninth grade English teacher gave me, and it was called The White Boy Shuffle by Paul Betty. And I love that book, still have it to this day. And it wasn't until like really the tail end of high school and really like my freshman year of college, undergraduate school, that I realized that there was a slew of books out there and that all you have to do is kind of find what works for you.
Tribe Called Quest, represent. When the mic is in my hand, I'm never hesitant. My favorite jam back in the day was Eric B for President.
How has hip-hop influenced your work?
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Tribe Called Quest, you know, hands down one of my favorite groups, but just artists, group of artists in general. But I think hip-hop, and particularly rap, what it did for me is it made me understand that language doesn't fit into a box, and language also can exist outside of, like, font and text. And so with that, you hear, like, Q-Tip spitting crazy different cadences, right? Or doing these like funky things with their rhymes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think about Pac and his storytelling, or Biggie and his storytelling, right? So just if you go down a list of just like any kind of rapper or any well-known cat in like the hip-hop game, you realize that like they're not sticking to one kind of delivery or one kind of cadence or one kind of content, right? And so what hip-hop did for me, and again particularly rap, it made me understand that there's like this slew of approaches to language, right? And so understanding that and then approaching the page with poetry, it's like you don't have to do things the same way that they've been done for hundreds of years. You don't have to do things like this Eurocentric kind of dominant canon that exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do something completely different and wild and free, and that can also be poetry, and that can also be appreciated, and that can also be valid. I wasn't exposed to Shakespeare when I was in high school, and it also wasn't interesting to me in high school. You know, Midnight Marauders was my Shakespeare. You know, so
it's a great album,
right? And I think that as much as we're expected to kind of learn about Shakespeare and come to Shakespeare when, you know, as we progress through academia. I think that folks should also, it should work the other way, right? To where, like, folks should come to, like, some of the great, you know, kind of artists of the culture of African-American communities and other people of color, right?
So I'm going to transition to Black Joy,
yeah.
which was a series of writing workshops for young Black men in Oakland that you led,
mm-hmm.
And it's now a published anthology. Talk about this project.
Yeah, the what we have now is actually what we had talked about initially, which is really exciting to think about. But it was, you know, we talked about it being primarily for young Black boys, right? Ages, I think it was 13 to 19 or 13 to 18 or something mm-hmm. like that. And I wanted to do that because, A, that particular group is not exposed to poetry like any other group. They also aren't, their literacy level for that group is lower than any other group, to a demographic group as well. And so what I wanted to do is really not necessarily get them to, like, teach them how to read or write poetry or anything like that, but more so to get them to understand that there's a world outside of what they may have been exposed to. The poetry was kind of secondary, honestly, to that. I think the poetry was a fruit of the labor of exposing them to different things. So yeah, so that journey from when they first started, I think when you all came and did the guest workshop, I think you guys asked them, you know, why are you guys here? What brought you here? And most of them were like, yo, my mom signed me up.
Right.
So to go from that to my mom signed me up to at the end to where they have this published anthology and to see them sitting there signing books, right, copies of their books, and performing at the Black Joy Parade. And all of that is what made that experience so rich.
Was there a masculinity complex to overcome with the young men when teaching them poetry and just encouraging them to go deep inside?
Yes, because especially with Black men, there's a certain bravado that, like, they're expected to have, right? And so, like anything, you often take on what is put upon you, right? And so I think that getting them to understand that, like, masculinity is complex, in that you can be emotional and transparent, and you can shed tears, and you can be happy and angry, and all of that doesn't take away from your masculinity,
mm-hmm.
and being, you know, vulnerable doesn't take away from your masculinity. And in fact, in many ways, it makes you, it enhances your masculinity. It helps you see yourself and, again, access places that you may not have knew existed.
So how do you practice Black joy? This is the last question.
How do I practice Black joy?
Or how do you practice joy?
Yeah, yeah. For me, having joy and practicing Black joy is being authentically myself, no matter where I am. So that goes for when I begin a teaching appointment at Cal State University Monterey Bay. That also goes to if I go to a Tribe Called Quest concert. That goes to if I'm ordering, I don't know, a three-piece spicy at Popeyes, right? Like, all of that is incumbent in, like, who I am. And it's important to kind of recognize your authenticity in all the spaces that you exist in and not change or divvy from your joy depending on the space you're in. For me in particular, I think that Black joy is it's inevitably almost always resistance, because there's always forces that want you to not be joyful, especially about being Black. At the root, it doesn't have to be resistant, but in our current climate, in our current world, it's that, because there's always something actively working to kind of suppress that joy. So anytime you smile, right, walking up the street and you're Black, that in itself is a revolution.
That was KLW's Janae Darden speaking with poet Daniel B. Summerhill. He's the editor of Black Joy, an anthology of Black boy poems, and he'll be performing live in Vallejo next month. All the details are at KLW.org.